God. Cheers to love God.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Let Go and Let God, Part 2. My scripture is Matthew 5:38-42. My text is Matthew 5:38-39, which states, Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. These things our Savior specifies to show that Christians must patiently yield to those who bear hard upon them rather than contend. The loss of a coat, which is a wrong to me in my estate, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, it is a hard case. It is common for legal processes to be made use of for the doing of greatest injuries. Though judges be just and careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences, yet it is possible for bad men who make no conscience of oaths and forgeries by course of law to force off the coat from a man's back. Marvel not at the matter, Ecclesiastes 5:8, but in such a case, rather than go to the law by way of revenge, rather than exhibit a cross bill, or stand not to the utmost in defense of that which is thy undoubtedly right, let him even take thy cloak also. If the matter be small, which we may lose without inconsiderable damage to our families, it is good to submit to it for peace's sake. It will not cost thee so much to buy another cloak as it will cost thee by course of law to recover that. And therefore, unless thou canst get it again by fair means, it is better to let them take it. But going a mile by constraint, which is a wrong to me and my liberty. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, to run an errand for him, or to wait upon him, grudge not at it, but go with him 2 miles, rather than fall out with him. Say not, I will do it if I were not compelled to it, but I hate to be forced. Rather say, therefore I will do it, for otherwise there will be a quarrel, and it is better to serve him than to serve thy own lust of pride and revenge. Some give this sense of it. The Jews taught that the disciples of the wise and the students of the law were not to be pressed as others might by the king's officers to travel upon the public service. But Christ will not have his disciples to insist upon this privilege, but to comply rather than offend the government. The sum of all is that Christians must not be litigious. Small injuries must be submitted to, and no notice taken of them. And if the injury be such as requires us to seek repairs, it must be for a good end, and without thought of revenge. Though we must not invite injuries, yet we must meet them cheerfully in the way of duty, and make the best of them. If any say, flesh and blood cannot pass by such an insult, let them remember that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Christ teaches us here, we must be charitable, and doing or producing good. Must not only do no hurt to our neighbors, but labor to do them all the good we can. We must be ready to give. Give to him that asketh thee. If thou hast an ability, look upon the request of the poor as giving an opportunity for the duty of almsgiving. When a real object of charity presents itself, we should give at the first word. Give a portion to seven, also to eight. Yet the affairs of our charity must be guided with discretion. Psalms 112:5. Lest we give that to the idle and unworthy, which should be given to those that are necessary and deserve well. What God says to us, we should be ready to say to our poor brethren, ask and it shall be given you. We must be ready to lend. This is sometimes as great a piece of charity as giving, as it not only relieves the present demand, but obliges the borrower to providence, industry, and honesty. And therefore, from him that will borrow of thee something to live on, or something to trade on, turn not thou away. Share not those that thou knowest have such a request to make of thee, nor contrive excuses to shake them off. Be easy of access to him that would borrow, though he be bashful and have not competence to make known his case and beg the favor. Yet thou knowest both his need and his desire, and therefore offer him the kindness. I will be prevailed on before I am entreated. I will anticipate the coming petition. It becomes us to be thus forward in acts of kindness. For before we call, God hears us and prevents us with the blessings of his goodness. The plain instruction is, suffer any injury that can be borne for the sake of peace, committing your concerns to the Lord's keeping. And the sum of all is that Christians must avoid disputing and striving. If any say, flesh and blood cannot pass by such an insult, let them remember that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And those who act upon right principles will have the most peace and comfort. Reported by the Associated Press, October 26, 2023, with mail theft and postal carrier robberies up, law enforcement officers have made more than 600 arrests since May in a crackdown launched to address crime that includes carriers being accosted at gunpoint for their antiquated universal keys, the Postal Service announced Wednesday. Criminals are both stealing mail and targeting carriers, so-called error keys, to get access to mailboxes. We will continue to turn up the pressure and put potential perpetrators on notice. If you're attacking postal employees, if you steal the mail or commit other postal crimes, postal inspectors will bring you to justice. Chief Postal Inspector Gary Boxdale told reporters on Wednesday. The Postal Service announcement on Wednesday came against a backdrop of rallies by the National Association of Letter Carriers, calling for better protection of carriers and harsh punishment for criminals who rob them. They have been held across the country in recent months, including one Tuesday in Denver and another Wednesday in Houston. Postal carriers have to keep their head on the swivel. They have to take precautions to be extra vigilant with their surroundings. Rick Byrne, reporter, president of the Colorado State Association of Letter Carriers, said Wednesday. Letter carriers are on edge after nearly 500 of them were robbed last year. Criminals increasingly targeted the mail to commit financial crimes, like altering checks to obtain money. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy said in a statement that it's important to protect the sanctity of the nation's mail, but that his top priority is the safety of those delivering it. To reduce robberies, the Postal Service is in the process of replacing tens of thousands of postal carriers' universal keys that are sought by criminals seeking to steal mail to commit check fraud, officials said. So far, 6,500 of the keys have been replaced with electronic locks in selected cities, and another 42,500 are set to be deployed, officials said. The Postal Service has declined to say how many of the error keys are in service. To prevent mail theft, the Postal Service also have deployed more than 10,000 high security blue boxes in high-risk locations to prevent people from breaking into them. The Postal Service is praising its successes after a critical report by its own watchdog, the Office of Inspector General, issued late last month. It faulted management for a lack of accountable milestones, accountability for staffing and training, and upgrading carriers' universal keys. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but vote to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ died a painful death on the cross so that our sins may be forgiven. Therefore, let us follow his instructions and not be revengeful, but be charitable and doing or producing good. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is grace. The word grace means more than just God's kindness toward us, or even his mercy. It means his undeserved favor. It means God owes nothing to us, and we deserve nothing from him. Ephesians 2:5 says it like this, that by grace you have been saved, which means our salvation was totally unmerited. It came solely because of God's grace. The motive of grace is the compassionate, infinite love of a merciful God. But the work of grace was Christ's death on the cross. When I imagine Christ hanging from the cross, the spikes in his hands, the crown of thorns on his brow, his blood draining from his body, the soldiers mocking him, then I began to see the depth of God's grace. Then I realized that nothing can equal the infinite love of God for a sinful world. But God's grace is also shown when we humbly bow before Christ in repentance and faith, for then we find forgiveness. Thank God for his grace, for without it, we would have no hope. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth